Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming a spinal condition through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories you are not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal health care. In today's episode, I'm delighted to be speaking with Pat Shellhorn, a spinal champion who was diagnosed with scoliosis at 16. By the time she was 59, her scoliosis had progressed enough to require surgery. Pat loves to cook, enjoys working out, and stays busy helping with her grandchild. Since her surgery in 2018, she's enjoying these activities again, and she's now 4 inches taller. Today, we'll talk about her journey back to the lifestyle she enjoys. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Pat's story.
I never knew I had scoliosis, as Rita said, until I was 16. I was helping my father lift something heavy, and I experienced pain in the middle of my back. And my mom took me to an orthopedist who x-rayed me and noticed that my lung had collapsed, which was what caused me to have to go there, but incidentally found that I had a 18 degree curve, and I was given exercises and did them, but by the time I was 59, my scoliosis had worsened to a 42 degree curvature, and I developed drop foot, which prompted my first surgery in September of 2017.
Ultimately, the first surgery was unsuccessful, and Pat's spine collapsed, causing her scoliosis to worsen considerably from a 42 degree curve to an 82 degree curve.
I was in so much pain and discomfort. I required the use of a walker and could do hardly anything at all. I had horrible headaches too due to my cerebral spinal fluid leaking.
The pain had grown so bad that Pat made the smart decision to consult a spine specialist, an expert in the field of spine care. Pat was desperate and quickly realized she needed to do some research. She searched for an expert in scoliosis deformity correction, someone who would be willing to help her.
I found two doctors I wanted to get an opinion from, and ultimately I chose one of them. He was not only an expert in spine, but specialized in scoliosis repair. He is arguably one of the top surgeons in the world for this type of surgery that I needed. Luckily, he agreed to see me almost immediately due to the severity of my condition, which gave me hope.
Pat received not one, but two expert opinions, which is often recommended, especially when someone's case is complicated like Pat's. Her doctor recommended a complete spinal fusion from her lower cervical spine to her sacral spine. That means from her neck to her hips. Pat had the surgery done in December of 2018. Even though Pat had osteoarthritis and low bone density, which made her case even more complicated, her doctor was able to perform the surgery successfully.
Because of my extensive spinal fusion, which took 13 hours to complete, and challenges due to bone density, arthritis, cerebral spinal fluid leaks, and other health issues, I was in ICU for a few days, and then a new CSF leak developed and they had to take me back to surgery to fix it. After that, however, things went rather well and I was able to go up and down the stairs right away. I now had a completely straight spine and I had regained my 4 inches in height.
Before her surgery, Pat had very limited mobility. After her surgery, she couldn't believe that she was able to walk right away. Suddenly, she was able to do things that she hadn't been able to do in years, like stand up straight and use stairs. These improvements inspired her to actively participate in the recovery process. She not only wanted to maintain her progress, she wanted to build upon it.
I was told that my compliance with physical therapy and core strengthening exercises were critical to my recovery. It was extremely important to maintain what I was now able to do immediately after surgery and to get even stronger to do more things that I enjoy. I knew the rest was up to me and I was very committed.
Pat knew the importance of a daily strengthening routine, and her commitment to physical therapy was non-negotiable in order to get back to the things she enjoyed in life.
Since my surgery, and because I am committed to do everything I can to get back to doing things I enjoy, such as cooking and baking, and I've been doing my exercises consistently and even have been on my bike. I just have to be very careful of falling because of my osteoporosis, low bone density, and other health challenges. I used to have a pain pump, but I no longer require that. I still have headaches and other issues, but I am amazed at my results.
Pat's decision to seek help from a spine specialist paid off. Pat knew she literally had no other options, and if there was a surgeon out there that could correct her severe scoliosis, she was determined to find one. With her situation, she knew it was an extremely complicated case that other surgeons may not take on. Luckily, she found the right one, and because he only sees the most severe scoliosis cases, she was able to be seen immediately. It would have been so easy to give up at this point, but she persevered and is now living a much better quality of life. Pat, your story is incredible because you had such a severe and complicated case and basically couldn't do anything in terms of daily living activities. Many people would have given up the battle, but you persisted. Tell us what motivated you to keep persevering with your own research to find a surgeon out there who would be able to help you.
The original doctor that did the surgery didn't really have a suggestion for me, so I knew it was up to me. And I went on the computer and I researched and I read profiles and I found two surgeons, as Rita said, that I got opinions from. And then my second opinion was Dr. Lenke. And when I stated that I had a previous appointment and got an opinion from somebody at Mount Sinai, they sort of giggled and I wondered what I missed. And they said, well, Dr. Lenke taught him everything he knows. So I knew Dr. Lenke was the person for me. And he's amazing. His demeanor, the way he approaches it, he's really an amazing human being. But his team was all there too. And they're just as invested in you and your surgery and your outcome as he is. Everybody cares. Everybody wants what's best. And I was in a position that I had no alternative. Scoliosis surgery was in my future, and it had to be with the best in the world. And I got the best in the world, Dr. Lenke.
That is awesome, Pat. And I love how you mentioned the team around Dr. Lenke, because, you know, so much of the experience is the surgeon, but also the surgeon's team.
Absolutely.
And so much of the time we talk about here in the foundation, the fact that you've got to feel very comfortable with the surgeon and his team, because you're putting your life in their hands. And what I'm hearing you saying is that you just sort of knew when you met the team, when you met the surgeon, you had that feeling, you knew you were in the right place for you.
Absolutely.
I've got another question for you, Pat. And, you know, we mentioned a little bit that you attempted to have a surgery in 2017 and things didn't go as expected. You had to use a walker because of the severity of the curve actually got worse. after that surgery and you were in a great amount of discomfort. You're taking that into consideration. How did you know that you needed a second surgery and that you could trust your new surgeon, especially considering the outcomes of that first failed attempt?
Well, at 82 degrees, if you picture 82 degrees and a 90 degree angle, I wasn't far from there. So I didn't have options. I was going to be in a wheelchair. At that point, my ribs were resting on my hip. And the only way I could stand was either using a walker or having my husband hold me up on one side and putting my hand on my right thigh to sort of push myself straight. But there was no pushing straight. I was where I was. And by the grace of God, I found Dr. Lenke, and I had my sister sit with me, who is a ER and trauma room nurse. And we went through all his information, and he just sounded too good to be true. But then I met him and I knew he was who he was. And his team was fabulous. And he never, ever in our conversation said anything that led me to doubt my decision. Everything was positive. He was positive he could help me. He was positive he could straighten me. And so I had no fear about what he could do. I had fear that I was undergoing this big surgery, but I had no fear that his piece of it would be great. My body would have to cooperate. That's the thing that I had to focus on. But I did have to say, I've had many, many surgeries. And going into this one, as scary as it sounds, once you meet Dr. Lenke and his team, you just know you're in the right hands. And it gives you peace of mind and comfort for a long journey ahead of you.
Yeah, that is just amazing, Pat. And I think one of the things I'm really taken by is, given the condition that you were in when you were searching for Dr. Lenke, you did not give up the search. And I think that's something that is so amazing about your story, is the persistence and your determination to find a solution for yourself. Because so much of the time, people give up. They lose hope and they feel like this is how things have to end up for them. And you did not give up hope on finding someone. And I think that is absolutely incredible. And that's sort of the heart of the message here in your story, is to don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on trying to find a treatment that can make your life better. How did you find that courage? How did you summon that strength in yourself?
Well, I'm a fairly determined person. And when I set my mind to something, I persist. And I had no other options. I was progressing daily. I mean, I started out at, 42, and it wasn't too long before I was 82, and I didn't want to get to 90. So I just dug in on the computer. But once I got into Dr. Lenke's office, and the other doctor was wonderful at Mount Sinai as well, and he told me the same thing: you don't have any options now. This is what you must do. So hearing it from two well-respected surgeons, but finding the one that taught everybody else how to do it was key for me. And then meeting him and his team just gave me what I needed to go through with it.
Pat, you mentioned that your sister is a nurse who sort of sat with you as you're doing your search. Yes. I think it's so important to have a support team around you. Sounds like your husband, who I've met, was very supportive during that time. Talk about the support around you.
My family we're a very tight-knit Irish family, and we support each other. My husband's been to just about every doctor I've been to with me. He's healthy, thank God. Doesn't need anything. But the support is so important, because when you're thinking things in your own mind, you can squirrel them any way you want. But when you're speaking it to people who love you, they're giving you honest, clear answers. And when you have concerns, they reassure you. And so it's so important that you're not doing it on your own. You have your medical team, but then you need your support team to help you say, yes, I'm doing this, and get you through what goes on after the surgery. And your family, your friends, it doesn't matter who you have, as long as you have a support team that will help you get through.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Pat, let's talk a little bit about your determined nature and how that has helped you with recovery. Because, you know, as you say, the medical team, finding the medical team that you trust, that you feel comfortable with, that's the first step. The second step is undergoing the treatment, right? Having the surgery. And then the next step is doing the recovery. And that really is entirely up to you to own, to manage, to be committed to. Talk about your recovery.
Very true. Rita said it perfectly. You know, Dr. Lanky does the work of the surgery, and he does amazing, like mind-blowing work. But then you have now gone through a very serious and painful, immediately after surgery. You're in pain. Everybody knows that. But you now have responsibility in your own care. He did his job. Dr. Lanky did his job. And now you have to commit to doing physical therapy, which is sometimes uncomfortable. And sometimes, you know, 3 days a week, it's like getting another job. But it is essential for you not to blow the chance that you got to have Dr. Lanky do your surgery. Is like big time, because he doesn't take every case. And that's only because he's at a level that he takes the most severe cases, which doesn't mean another surgeon can't do your surgery just fine. It just means you're not as complicated as he tends to work on. And getting through physical therapy and trying to get back to your life as you knew it is your job. And you'll have your family support, you'll have your physical therapist support, but you ultimately have to commit to that work. And if you don't, then it will all be for naught. And trust me, when you're done with your surgery, you're going to want to get back to life.
Yeah, that's so well said, Pat. And, you know, I think one thing you said in there is that, you know, and we say in some of our messaging, life as you know it doesn't have to end. Right. And I think that's what's so beautiful about your story is that you are able to return to your life after undergoing this incredible journey that you've been through. And, I just think it's remarkable that you had the right mindset and you followed through with it. And that, again, that's the lesson here is that finding the right doctor, you know, you did the work to find the right doctor. You went through the sort of pain and suffering of going through the big, big complicated surgery, and then determined to not have wasted that effort and do the work to get better. And so you do right. That every day. Talk about your daily routine now. What's it like?
Well, I sleep a little later than I used to, which is nice. And I get up and I do pretty much whatever I want to do for the day. I always work out to some degree, sometimes a long time because I want to hit every body part. And sometimes it's a 25-minute workout on a machine. But I maintain that because maintaining your strength of mind is essential, but your body's got to work with it. So you have to maintain your strength, your core. And I happily work out because I know that it was always part of my life. And then it got very difficult with an 82-degree curve. But once I was in a position where I could do the work, you know, my day got back to normal. I could be in the kitchen with my grandson, who I adore, and he liked to bake with me. And we made cinnamon buns the other day, and he was very excited about watching yeast bloom. And I've attempted to play pickleball.
Pickleball!
Not very good at it yet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the new craze.
I know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just getting out there is awesome.
Yeah. My husband's very good at it. I'm learning it. I will say that I don't, if a ball doesn't come up high enough, I don't go crazy to bend down low because I don't want to go so low that I don't get up. So I just let those go.
That's fine.
And I don't usually let many things go, but I will not endanger my spine under any circumstance. I'm cautious.
Hey, you're out there playing pickleball. That's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not very good at it, but I'm getting there.
Doesn't matter. Just being out there, that's phenomenal.
And so my life is back to pretty much with, I have some fear because the osteoporosis, which has nothing to do with Dr. Lenke's surgery, but I do have to be careful. I have broken bones, so I just have to be cautious. But cautious doesn't mean not doing. It just means do with care.
Right.
And that's what I do.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's just fantastic.
Thank you. I'm
so
thrilled.
Inspiring. And, you know, you did come into life as a young person. You were a gymnast. So you always had this, you know, sort of focus on fitness. And did you work as a PE teacher, Pat? Is that my recollection?
Yes, I taught physical education and then later on health and physical education for 33 years. And it was the best job in the world. I loved it. I didn't stand there and give instructions to kids. I demonstrated. I did warm-ups with them. It gave me an opportunity to stay moving all day. And many of them knew the scoliosis because it was obvious. But just to set an example that says you're dealt these cards, but that doesn't mean you have to play those. You can play the cards that you know will get you where you want to be. And that's where I was at, just maintaining movement, maintaining strength training, and knowing that I was 4 inches back to my height. That was amazing to me. Now my dresses, skirts, pants are all like evenly hemmed, where it used to be such a shift. It looked ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
But I just had to deal with that until I found Dr. Lenke, and then life changed for the better, that's for sure.
So, Pat, as you went through your life in your young adulthood, were you just living with the scoliosis and just trying to manage it with a regular exercise regimen? And then it just finally got severe enough at 42 degrees that is what prompted you to figure out that you needed surgery with the foot drop. Is that sort of the general progression of your life there?
The 42 degrees wasn't it as much as the fact that there was pressure on the nerve at L4, L5. That prompted the original surgery, but that had its own issues. And so at 42 degrees, I was living a normal life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was crooked and I didn't like the way I looked, but I could do just about anything I wanted to do. And then, you know, the osteoporosis sort of gave me pause, but I didn't stop doing things. I just did things more carefully. But I was a gymnast. So with scoliosis, so much of what you work on is your core and your posture and all of that. And gymnastics is all about that. So I was fortunate that I was involved in a sport that didn't have me bending over, hitting a ball or anything. I was using every part of my body on every piece of equipment. And I was an all-around gymnast and loved it. I was addicted to it. So that, I think, helped me in the progression from when it started out at 18 degrees or whatever, when I was 17 or 16. So it wasn't until I hit 59 that I got to 42 degrees. So it was a slow progression. And I think part of the reason it was a slow progression was I was doing the exercises and doing the work so that it didn't progress too much. So over however many years that is, 40 years or so, you know, it really didn't progress much more than a degree or two a year.
Yeah. That's wonderful that you were able to maintain your health that way. And what's the physics law? Body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays at rest. So just keeping that movement. Fortuitously, you had a job that allowed you to stay in motion and essentially work out during the day, during the course of your day. The rest of us we're sitting at desks all day. We don't have that opportunity. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. I was very lucky to be in that position. And then during my prep time, I would go in the weight room and I would work out during my prep or my lunch because I didn't need to eat for more than 5 minutes. And I could get something down and then use my time wisely. And I think that's one of the most important things is looking at the blocks of time you have in your life and assigning a certain portion of that time to your health.
Yep.
And your back health, your total health. And that's what I did. And I did it consistently and it pays off. And that I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying there weren't days I was tired and didn't want to do it. But I did it anyway because I knew the outcome was what I searched for when I went online to search for Dr. Lanky. Yeah. Was I wanted to get from point A to point Z.
Right.
And I knew a big part of it was Dr. Lanky and his team. And then the rest was on these shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was committed. And that's the most important thing I can say is that don't go through that whole surgery and not commit to the follow through. Because as with everything, follow through gets you to the end.
Gets you to the end.
Quitting gets you back where you started.
Right. Yeah. How lucky for you that you could come into recovery with your previous life experience of commitment and enjoying fitness. And so you had that memory. You had the memory, your body had the muscle memory of knowing what it feels like to be healthier, to be in shape.
Right.
And so to be able to take that and apply it to your recovery from your surgery, it was a very, very lucky place to be. And, just a good demonstration of your commitment to the recovery. That's an important piece.
Yeah. That word commitment is so important because it can't be, Monday I did it, but I didn't feel I was tired or I want to go shopping on Tuesday. No, it's like a daily commitment. And it doesn't have to be a long period of time, but it has to be a focused period of time.
Yeah.
Where you know that you're working on recovering from the surgery and getting your life back.
Right.
And if that's in your head every day you wake up, that's what I have to do at some point today, then you do it. And you will have the results that I had, which were unbelievable. I mean, really unbelievable.
Amazing.
When he said, I can make you straight, I thought, I know you're the best of the best, but make me straight from 82 degrees? How could that be? And he did it. It was amazing. It was so amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Nobody could believe it. My doctors, I would go into my other doctors and they said, I've never seen you look like this. Like, I know, I'm straight. I have to say, something led me to him. I'm not, the best computer geek in the world. I wish I was. But once I got to him, so much comfort came into me knowing that I was in the best hands, but also in the hands of people with good hearts and compassion and understanding and explaining. One of the things he explained to me, which was helpful, was that he didn't want me to tough it out. I'm pretty strong. I deal with pain pretty well. But he said, being in a lot of pain doesn't help with your recovery. So they give you pain medication. You take it. It helps for you and your body to get to the point where when the physical therapist comes in and goes, okay, today's first day, you can do it. And the physical therapists were great there. And he said, you want to try the stairs? And I said, sure. And I went up and down with no problem. I went slowly and I held the rail and I was cautious, but I had no trouble with it. So,
and how long was that? How long was that after the surgery?
Maybe it was a week into it, that PT came in and I did a little step thing for a little bit. And then he said, do you want to try the stairs? And we do walks. We walked around the hall and I was doing well. And I was, as we said, determined. So when he offered me the staircase, I said, sure. And I went up and down without problem. Of course, as I said, you have to be cautious. You have to hold on to the railing and you go one step at a time. It's not a race. It's just an exercise in getting back to life.
So fantastic.
And it was fun. It was fun to see that I could do that after a week.
Yeah. Ah, so awesome. So fantastic. I wanted to talk a little bit about your computer searching and finding information, ultimately using computer searches to find the right doctor for you. And of course, we're here at the National Spine Health Foundation with spinehealth.org and our Spine Talks programs. And I know you've seen what we're doing here. Do you think if you had found a resource like ours, it would have been helpful to you? Can you talk to me a little bit about what you see, what we're doing, and how that can be helpful?
My problem was that I was 59, almost 60, and I was in a position that I needed to do something, but I couldn't find any. I Googled everything to try YouTube, to try to find somebody who was 60 who underwent this surgery. And I couldn't find anybody. I could find young people, but they're not the same as people that are almost 60. So, you know, I just kept diving into the research, knowing that I had to find somebody, but I wasn't going to settle. I had to be 100% confident that I was in the right hands. So, you know, the internet can be dangerous. You can find people that say they're one thing, really quite not. But Dr. Lanky's resume is just incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. And then when you meet him, I mean, I met him on the computer first, just by reading about him. But when you get in there and you sit with him and the team, and he does his exam and he talks to you like you're just a regular person, and he is so humble and just so kind in the way he approaches it and explains it, that it just gives you the confidence that you need. Because when you go into any surgery, you're going to have some fear. But he puts pretty much all that to rest when he explains how he does it. And it's important to know that Dr. Lanky does really severe cases. But if you're not that severe case and he recommends somebody else, or you do your research and get good recommendations, then other people can do a more minor reconstruction. Mine just happened to be extensive with other complicating issues. So I really felt like I was in the right hands.
Yeah.
But you have to do the work. You have to make sure you have exhausted and gotten to the person that you know is the right person for you.
And Pat, spinehealth.org, the website, launched in late 2019. So when you were doing your searches, this web initiative did not exist. But now that you have found us and
Right. You've
been excited about what you're seeing and you're sharing your story,
Yeah. You're
becoming a resource for other people now. Can you tell us a few things about what you like about what we're doing and maybe being excited about participating with us? Maybe give us a few sound bites of the work that we're doing, how important it can be.
Well, the work you're doing is amazing. It's exactly what I was looking for when I was trying to figure this out for myself, because I was sort of left to figure it out by myself. But this work is so important because spine issues are everywhere. And people are living in pain that don't need to live in pain, but there's just not enough isolated information about what you really can have done on your spine to make you get better and get to your life. And I think that this foundation is the start of something great, because more and more people will be able to hear it, contact, get information. And in all of that, you get a little more comfortable with what you're facing. And so now I'm thrilled to be part of it, because if I can make anybody understand that he'll do his job, you do your job, your life gets better, that's what I needed to hear. But it wasn't available then. But now you've done a great job with this program. I'm so honored to be part of it and to be able to share my story, because it's a success story, as are Dr. Lanky's stories are success stories. And whichever direction you have to go in, you just have to stick to the program. And the program is finding the right person, listening, learning, and then following up with your part of the job.
Thanks for that, Pat. And we're honored to have you as part of our community, our spinal champion community. You're a spinal champion. Woohoo!
I'm a spinal champion. Yay! That's probably the most important accolade that I have, because I was going down a bad road before I met Dr. Lanky. It wasn't good.
Wow.
And that's my big gold pin to wear.
Yeah.
Surviving that and getting back to life. You know, there's no words to say to Dr. Lanky and his team, like, what the difference has made. It's I'd be in a wheelchair for sure by now with my organs all scrunched, and I wouldn't be living any life. And now I'm back to life and back to playing with my grandson. We had a new grandbaby last night.
Congratulations.
So now we have another baby coming home from the hospital today, because my daughter lives with us with her 5.5-year-old and now her newborn. So I'll be busy with that. And you know, there was a time where I wasn't steady enough to hold a potato, let alone a baby.
Oh my goodness. And now you can be helpful. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm very grateful.
Well, Pat, it was so wonderful to meet you. We cannot wait to share your incredible story with our community. Thank you so, so much for sharing, for spending this time with us today. And actually, ultimately, for being a role model for so many others. We cannot thank you enough.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I am very grateful to have this opportunity. And I hope it helps somebody, one person, 10 people, whatever it does, it is good. And I'm happy to do it.
At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain each year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.